The power of media, whether direct or indirect, is a real power which acts on us, which modifies our behavior, our tastes, and probably our thoughts. Like all authority, it cannot be applied at random. Otherwise, that power could become arbitrary and irresponsible. The power gives people in the media responsibility comparable to religious or political responsibility. In their own way, they contribute to the establishment and maintenance of a human community. The well-being of that community should be their first concern. If you rely on someone who has lower qualities than yourself, that will lead to your degeneration. If you rely on someone who has qualities similar to yourself, you will stay where you are. And if you rely on someone who has better qualities than yourself, that will help you to achieve sublime status. I sometimes think that the act of bringing food is one of the basic roots of all relationships. If students sincerely point out the faults of a guru and explain any contradictory behavior, this will, in fact, help the guru to correct that behavior and adjust any wrong actions. For a meditator who has a certain degree of inner stability and realization, every experience comes as a teaching. Every event, every experience one is exposed to comes as a kind of learning experience. When a problem first arises, try to remain humble, maintain a sincere attitude, and be concerned that the outcome is fair. Of course, others may try to take advantage of you, and if your remaining detached only encourages unjust aggression, adopt a strong stand. This, however, should be done with compassion, and if it is necessary to express your views and take strong countermeasures, do so without anger or ill intent. There are different types of attachment in relation to different objects: attachment toward form, appearance, sound, smell, tactile sensations, and so on. All of these individually are powerful enough to cause a lot of problems and difficulties. However, the strongest form of attachment seems to be sexual attachment. Here we find attachment toward all the five senses involved. Therefore, it is all the more powerful and has the potential for problems and destruction. Should we persist in our normal self-centered tendencies and behavior in spite of our human birth, we would be wasting a great opportunity. Our tenure in this world should not be that of a troublemaker in the human community. Great compassion and wisdom are the chief qualities of the Buddha. Even in worldly terms, the more intelligent and knowledgeable the person is, the more the person commands respect. Similarly, the more compassionate, kind, and gentle the person, the more he or she should be respected. So if you are able to develop that intelligence and altruism to their fullest extent, then you are truly admirable and deserve to be respected. In the present circumstances, no one can afford to assume that someone else will solve their problems. Every individual has a responsibility to help guide our global family in the right direction. Good wishes are not sufficient. We must become actively engaged. In the case of making bombs, the people involved are specialists. They are focusing on something very narrow and becoming extremely expert in that area without seeing the broader consequences of their acts. It is a kind of tunnel vision. As long as they focus on that, the self-deception is supported. From the exploiter's viewpoint, this is a great achievement. In their own right, in their own domain, they are doing something extraordinary. The guru, the spiritual teacher, is responsible for his or her improper behavior. It is the student's responsibility not to be drawn into it. The blame is on both. Partly it is because the student is too obedient and devoted to the spiritual master, a kind of blind acceptance of that person's guidance. This always spoils the person. But of course, part of the blame lies with the spiritual master, because he lacks the integrity that is necessary to be immune to that kind of vulnerability. When through rituals and formalities, you create the spiritual space and atmosphere that you are seeking, then the process will have a powerful effect on your experience. When you lack the inner dimension for that spiritual experience you are aspiring to, then rituals become mere formalities, external elaborations. In that case, clearly, they lose their meaning and become unnecessary customs, just a good excuse for passing time. Today we face a number of problems. Some are natural calamities, which we must accept and face as best as we can. But some others are man-made problems created by our own misbehavior and bad thoughts, which can be avoided. One such problem arises from ideological or even religious conflicts, when men fight each other, losing sight of human ends or goals. All different faiths and systems are only methods to achieve a goal that for the average person is happiness in life. Therefore, at no time should we place means above ends. The supremacy of man over matter and all that it entails must be maintained at all times. One of the characteristics of karmic theory is that there is a definite commensurate relationship between cause and effect. There is no way that negative actions or unwholesome deeds can result in joy and happiness. Joy and happiness, by definition, are the results or fruits of wholesome actions. So from that point of view, it is possible for us to admire not so much the immediate action, but the real causes of joy. There is said to be a relationship between dreaming, on the one hand, and the gross and subtle levels of the body on the other. But it's also said that there is such a thing as a special dream state. In that state, the special dream body is created from the mind and from vital energy within the body. This special dream body is able to disassociate entirely from the gross physical body and travel elsewhere. One way of developing this special dream body is first of all to recognize the dream as a dream when it is over. Then you find that the dream is malleable, and you can make efforts to gain control over it. Regarding my actual daily practice, I spend, at the very least, 5.5 hours per day in prayer, meditation, and study. On top of this, I also pray whenever I can during odd moments of the day. For example, over meals and while traveling. In this last case, I have 3 main reasons for doing so. First, it contributes toward fulfillment of my daily duty. Second, it helps to pass the time productively. Third, it assuages fear. I see no distinction between religious practice and daily life. When we practice, initially, as a basis, we control ourselves, stopping the bad actions which hurt others as much as we can. This is defensive. After that, when we develop certain qualifications, then, as an active goal, we should help others. In the first stage, sometimes we need isolation However, after you have some confidence, some strength, you must remain in contact with society and serve it in any field. Health, education, politics, or whatever. In order to serve, you must remain in society. According to its level of subtlety, consciousness is classified into three levels. The waking state, or gross level of consciousness, the consciousness of the dream state, which is more subtle, and the consciousness during dreamless sleep, which is subtler still. Similarly, the three stages of birth, death, and the intermediate state are also established in terms of the subtlety of their levels of consciousness. On the basis of the continuity of the stream of consciousness is established the existence of rebirth and reincarnation. Vegetarianism is very admirable. However, according to Buddhism, there is no unequivocal prohibition against eating meat. What is specifically prohibited is taking any meat that you have ordered with the knowledge or even the suspicion that it has been killed especially for you. In Tibetan, the word for blessing means transformation through majesty or power. In short, the meaning of blessing is to bring about, as a result of the experience, a transformation in one's mind for the better. The truth of suffering is that we experience many different types of suffering. The three categories are suffering of suffering. This refers to things such as headaches. Suffering of change. This is related to the feeling of restlessness after being comfortable. And all-pervasive suffering that acts as the basis of the first two categories and is under the control of karma and the disturbing mind. Thank you.